Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. WBR Fairfax Radio, you're on the Commons. I'm Sue Bartholomew. And joining us on the Commons today, we're actually writing history because for the first time ever, we're doing an international show. Our guest is Mel Hobbs, and Mel is in England. Mel has spent the last almost 10 years fighting his HOA, and this was his dream home, his dream vacation home in Florida. So we're going to hear a little bit about what happened and find out what's going on. Mel, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Now, I said 10 years, am I right?
Yeah, you certainly are. And we purchased the property in 1992, just as a bit of brief background. And we discovered that the board of directors of the association were running riot with the way they were running the association's affairs, and nobody seemed to be able to stop them misbehaving, if you like. We discovered there were tremendous problems with the accounting side of the association, in that a major shareholder of the association, a firm called Shinko, were nearly $700,000 in arrears with their association assessment fees.
$700,000.
Actually, I think the true figure, because you understand my memory is dimming a bit now, although we have all this on paper, it was something like $685,000.
Wow.
We decided that we would investigate this a little further. The result was, of course, that we asked under the Florida statutes for access to the association's records. And we then had to find ourselves fighting a first lawsuit in an attempt to get access to the association's records. This took about 3 or 4 years. And the result was that having got through that, we then discovered something like 8 different violations of the Florida statutes as written, and the documents relating to the association as written were being completely and utterly ignored by the association board of directors. By now, we were a long way down the road financially with all this. And we then set about trying to get these anomalies put right. Our problems really started when we appeared before the first judge on a question of what the association board were doing wrong. And he took notice of one part of the statutes, but totally ignored the second part. Now, the real problem there was that the judge concerned was extremely friendly with the two attorneys who were acting for the association. One was acting for the association board of directors, the other was acting for the association's insurance company. And it was crystal clear from that day on that the judicial system, if you like, in the state of Florida, or in particular in Polk County, the Tenth Circuit, were in no way going to look at this on an unbiased basis. And I have to say this, although probably you'll cut this out of the recording, it's our view that having gone through this with various judges, right through to the appeal court and the Supreme Court, that one judge supports another judge, and the result is, of course, that the whole system is corrupt. There is no question of that. The whole judicial system is corrupt.
First of all, I don't usually edit for content, so that is not going to get cut out. And you are not the first person to have said that. The judicial system really needs a huge overhaul.
Well, we thought that it was the fact that we live in a different world over here to what they have in Polk County, Florida, and then we looked very closely at it, and we realized that although we were following the statutes and the association declarations to the letter of the law, I might add. The American way, in no way were we trying to impose a British judicial viewpoint on all of this. It was really following the Florida viewpoint on it all. And we found that although we were following it, that these people that we were dealing with completely ignored it. And in fact, this was confirmed to us when we read in a supplement on February 24, 2008, an article by a retired Supreme Court Justice, Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, and the words that she uses quite clearly are, a good judge applies the law as it is, not as she wants it to be. She was most scathing about the way things are done in the judicial system there. So, and that was published in The Ledger, which is a local newspaper, on February 24th, 2008. So that was the first thing. The next thing that we came across was another local Ledger editorial, which is entitled Disrobing the Judge, where one of these so-called circuit judges, a gentleman of some, shall we say, doubtful character, a man called Stringer, was found to be having quite a relationship with a lap dancer from New York and getting up to all sorts of naughty things financially with her. But it is amusing, except for the fact, of course, this man is a circuit judge in Polk County Circuit. And this man is a man who has taken an oath, presumably, to uphold the laws of the state of Florida, and somebody who in the community should be looked up to and should be respected. But this is the sort of man that they seem to have in Polk County Circuit anyway, running the judicial system. Now, we've been from England, we're obviously up against the system, so to speak, and all the judges seem to follow on one after another along the lines set down in the beginning. They really did their utmost to get rid of us. So
They don't want to deal with these issues. Mel, they don't want to deal with these issues. None of the judges do. And they just wanted to go away, which is why so many of them are now going to arbitration and mediation and with these confidentiality clauses. So you never know what happened.
Well, the thing is, of course, that these people get themselves, as we can understand it, into a position where they say, oh, well, they don't say outright, we support the decision of the previous judge that's been looking at this. We'll make a per curiam order, which of course we all know means order of the court. And you cannot get these people to overturn a previous judge's decision, no matter how wrong he is. Now, we had correspondence from our attorney at the time where he set it out quite clearly that the judge who made the last order against us was wrong in law. Now, we produced that for these judges in the appeal court, the Second District Court of Appeal, and they completely ignored it. We sent a copy of it to the with an application to the Supreme Court, and they ignored it. So, you know, where does one go from there? All we can do is say to people this side of the pond, for God's sake, whatever you do, don't buy property in Polk County, Florida, whatever you do, because you absolutely no protection whatsoever against these lawless condominium associations.
I want to amend that. It's not just Polk County, Florida. It's Florida in general. It's the United States completely, because the same issues that you're talking about happen all over the country. The laws are skewed against the homeowner. The judges don't want to deal with them. I don't think going to court, and I don't think passing more laws is the answer. I really don't, because the homeowners have been losing all over the place.
Well,
I think what you're doing is good, you know, getting the word out.
Well, I think you're absolutely right in that it is a complete waste of time and money. In our case, $500,000 to try and get justice against people like this who clearly are. I mean, you know, we don't know whether the judges we've come up against are lazy, incompetent, or totally corrupt, or maybe a mixture of all three. But clearly, that is the way we see it, and I've no doubt that they won't like the fact that we're saying this. I'm sure they won't. And I know jolly well that they don't like publicity, because our last hearing at the Second District Court of Appeal in Lakeland, we were put on last to present our side of the story, and we were told, or I was told, by the clerk to the court there, well, they've put you on last, Mr. Hobbs, because they don't want you to have an audience to hear what you're saying about all this.
Oh, they actually told you that, huh?
Yeah, actually told me that. I mean, it's crazy, but that's exactly the way they behave. You know, they put you on last because they don't want you to have an audience, and all these other cases got to be heard first so that people disappear. And it finished up that my wife and I were only two in the court with the attorney from the association's representatives, of course. We were the only three in the court with these three appeal court judges. They sat there and they listened, and they never asked a single question of us. They never asked us, why do you think this? Why have you said that? How did this come about? They just sat there and watched us, and then they all got up and trooped out. And then, of course, we got the, well, no, we're going to support, it's a per curiam judgment, and we're going to support the circuit judge that made this order. I mean, where on earth in the world, apart perhaps from Florida, do you get that sort of judicial system? I don't know.
It's not, as I said, it's not just Florida, it's across the country. You get the same sort of stuff. And, you know, even if you go down to the legislature and try to discuss or comment on some of the bills that they're considering, if it has to do with an HOA, they'll listen to it last and hope that everybody has left. And they, frankly, they don't even want you to talk about it. They don't want to talk about it. Mel, they're sweeping all of this stuff under the rug, so that it goes away, and they don't.
But it doesn't go away.
It doesn't go away because it's making people miserable. You sent me a whole package of stuff, and in one of the letters you sent me, or something, the District Court of Appeal of Florida, Second District, you put in there, in the years 2007-2008, the state received in excess of 51,000 complaints of a similar nature. 51,000 complaints.
Yes, that's why they set up, I forget what they call it now, some sort of special commission, and we were invited to attend that. Anyway, my wife and I went along, and we were asked to speak there about what was going on. And that particular outfit were able to listen to people's problems, but then they were disbanded afterwards, and nothing seems to have followed on from that.
Is that Julio Rubina was hosting?
Yes.
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 Because he went around the
country
listening.
Select committee.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's coming
okay.
to me now. It was a select committee.
Okay.
And we went there, and we gave evidence to it, and we were not the only ones, and we were horrified when Representative Rubina, opening the meeting, said, well, there's 1.5 million or 2 million housing and condo associations in the state of Florida, and last year we had, I think it was 57,000 complaints against condominium boards and particularly the attorneys, I think, because the problem is, when you look at it carefully, which is what we've done over the last 10 years, there are plenty of laws in Florida to deal with these problems. The problem is that a lot of the attorneys and the judges work what we call over here hand in glove, and they just support each other, and none of these laws are upheld properly. They're just not upheld.
They're not enforced.
The judges turn their back on it.
They're not enforced. Sorry? They're not enforced, which makes them totally useless.
That's right. They don't bother with it. They just say, I think the attitude seems to be, well, you know, we're not really interested. We're getting our salary. And it doesn't seem to me to be necessary, from what I've seen of the people we've dealt with in the judicial system. You don't need to be terribly intelligent to be able to understand what goes on there. You really don't. And I reckon that most of them must be failed lawyers who wouldn't be able to earn a living outside of the state of Florida. I mean, they're just terrible. It's there in black and white. Thou shalt not. What do they do? Well, never mind, they say. Doesn't matter too much. And they don't bother. We came up against a trial judge called McCarthy, and previously to him dealing with us, there had been another article in the local ledger paper, J. Michael McCarthy. And there was an article there where a lady by the name of Susie Shotelke had gone around asking various lawyers of their opinions of judges. And this is the sort of thing that was published in the local paper. He deserves less than one, a lawyer wrote. He does not know or does not follow Florida law, only his own laws. He holds grudges from private practice and courthouse gossip. He plays favorites and is biased to attorneys and litigants. He should be removed immediately. Many others said he tends to ignore the law when making rulings. Another two or three lawyers, local lawyers, said, worst judge ever, arrogant and does not care about people. He does not like women and he always blames other people. Now, you know, when you've got a man like that who's supposed to be a pillar of the community, that the community are supposed to be able to go to and say, Your Honor, we've got a real problem. Well, the nomenclature, Your Honor, is a joke in itself. The man clearly hasn't got any honor the way he behaves anyway. I mean, it's easy for me to say that, this side of the pond. I don't know whether local people will be able to say it. I doubt it. They probably wouldn't, but certainly
you know, right
I feel
now
free
you
to say
still,
what I like.
Right now, you're still entitled to your opinion, and that's exactly what it is. It's your opinion, and you're entitled to it.
That's right.
So regardless of what side of the pond you're on. But I want to get back to your to what happened to you. You started off by noticing there was money that was not coming in that was due, like $700,000 in arrears.
Yes.
And it took you, your first lawsuit was trying to get a hold of the books and records.
Yes,
right?
That's exactly right. Exactly right.
And did you get, you got
them?
We had
terrible trouble. We got some. We certainly didn't get them all. And of course we brought a lot of the stuff back to England. We had what you call a CPA, to our home here for a couple of days. And he went through everything that he could find. And he came out with a lot of paperwork for us, having spent two whole days working on it all. And his reaction was, well, there's no doubt about this. There's fraud and false accounting going on there. No judge ever seemed to be interested in that, and neither did the lawyers. Whether it was because they didn't understand it, whether it was because it was too hot to handle, I really don't know. But quite clearly, there had been fraud and false accounting.
So what happened with that? When you took that to court, you lost that case? The judge decided that he wasn't interested in it?
Well, that's right. That was really what it was. I mean, in fact, the lawyers got their heads together. The question we asked at the time is, we said, well, why if the association's financial dealings are correct and proper, why would Attorney Eileen Coe need to send a letter to a chap called Jim Landis, who was our attorney at the time, enclosing completely revised spreadsheets, etc.? And why would Attorney Coe make a charge for expenses on the 13th of the 2nd, 2002, and the 15th of the 2nd, 2002, for reconstructing a complete payment history for Sports Shinko, who were then the people that were $700,000 behind? We were never given an answer for that.
So they reconstructed the paperwork, the ledgers, is that
what
you said?
They did. Yes, they did. Yes, they did. They reconstructed it.
So you spent
and of course all that was... Sorry?
Go on.
Now, all that was to take time and to delay things. I mean, it's been a constant battle to delay things. It's clear beyond any shadow of doubt the main purpose of the way they behaved was either to get us to run out of money, to frighten us away, to get us be sick and tired of it, or whatever. You know, they just tried their level best to get rid of us. And in fact, another thing that was said to me when we went back to the Second District Court of Appeal the first time was again said to me by the clerk to the court there, well, you know, Mr. Hobbs, they all really just want you to go away. I mean,
they said that. Go away.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. All I really want, Mr. Hobbs, is for you to go away. Now, what sort of a judicial system can they be running there?
Well, they don't want to deal with it. All right, so that's case number one. It took you 4 years.
Yep.
You did not get anywhere with that, except that they laundered the books. They sanitized the books and records. And who knows what happened or whether it was ever reconciled properly or not. But that was not the end of it. I mean, if that took you 4 years, what happened next?
Well, then the next thing was, with all the evidence and information we got, we then said, well, okay, we've got to put a stop to all this, and we issued a writ or summons, whatever you want to call it, and there were 8 counts in that, you know, sort of failing to collect interest and failing to follow the bylaws, and there were about 8 counts there, and of course what they then did, they then took 6 years to chip away at those by virtue of the fact that they said, oh, well, we have to go for summary judgment on counts 1 and 2. And that really was when we really woke up to the fact that it clearly was a crooked operation between the judge and the attorneys. Because the first thing that happened, the first hearing we had, we went before a Judge McDonald, and we walked into the chambers, I think you would call them, and we sat down with our attorney, and McDonald came in, and the two attorneys acting for the association and the association's attorney insurers got to their feet and walked straight to the end of the room, and they slapped each other on the back and shook hands and greeted each other as though they were long-lost brothers. Now, I can say this, but again, I can't compare the American judicial system with the Brit system, but I can say this, that in this country, any judge finding that there was a lawyer or lawyers in the case that he knew personally the way this man knew these two, he would have recused himself. He would have said, I can't deal with this. And somebody else would have been brought in. But no, he didn't do that. They all sat down like blood brothers. And that's when it all started. And from then on in, after McDonald, we got this man McCarthy, the one I've just commented about what a terrible man he is and makes his own laws, doesn't follow the laws. And it went on and on and on and on.
What were the 8 counts?
Oh, yeah, hang on. Gosh,
I
thought we already got all those. I'm going to have to find them.
Okay. You said you wanted dealt with, you asked for a summary judgment on counts 1 and 2.
No, they did. They asked for summary judgment on counts 1 and 2.
Okay.
And of course, and this was when they were with this man McDonald, and of course this was when McDonald said, oh well, you know, no, that's all right, don't worry, no, it doesn't matter that they've done that. So it goes on. I've got it in front of me now. You can imagine my study here is full of paper, but I have got in front of me all the 8 counts.
All right, let's hear them.
Right, count 1 was failure to collect interest on arrearages of condominium fees and assessments. Because in the statutes and in the declarations, it says, and that was the first one with McDonald, and it says quite clearly that when somebody gets in arrears with their assessment fees, then interest shall be charged at 14% per annum unless the association documents dictate otherwise. Now, our documents said 10%. It then goes on to say that any monies collected in must first be applied to the interest, secondly to any attorney's fees, and lastly to offset against the capital. Well, when we went on that particular count, McDonald, who was the big buddy with these two attorneys, said, oh, it doesn't matter, they didn't collect it, so what, too bad, hard luck, goodbye, dismissed. The next one was failure to collect the past due assessments, and he said, never mind, that doesn't matter, so that went out the window. Count 3 was where they'd moved in when we bought the properties over there. These properties had utility rooms with laundry equipment in, you know, washers and dryers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They were all part and parcel of what's called the common element and belonged to all of us, and all of us had the right to use these. Well, this was fine for about 4 or 5 years, and we went. One winter, we went there, and when we got there, we found they'd taken all the laundry equipment out and sold it.
Huh? And
there wasn't any in our particular unit, so I complained to the general manager, who said, well, we didn't have enough to go round, you know, but we're renting stuff now. And I said to him, well, you just jolly well better rent some for us, because how are we supposed to do our laundry? Because at that time, this particular board, which was being run, if you like, by a man called Weinkoff and the general manager, Pellequin, that particular board had refused permission for anybody to put their own washer dryers within the units. They said, no, 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 you can't do that. We're not letting you do that. And they passed some sort of a bylaw, whatever it was. So we couldn't do that. So we had a bit of a ruck over that. And then, of course, they decided that they would put some in. Then also these properties had a central collection point vacuum cleaner system. I don't know how many of these places have this, but it was one of these where you plug vacuum cleaners into the wall and it sucked away to a central collection point.
Right.
Well, we got there one time and found that they'd removed the central collection point and they'd sold off all the bits and pieces relating to that. So we're left with these bits and pieces of vacuum cleaners that we couldn't use and had to go out and buy vacuum cleaners. That didn't matter so much. I mean, you know, it's not so much that. It's the fact they've gone on and do these things without asking the membership, because all this stuff, you're supposed to, according to the documents, you're supposed to go to the membership and get a vote on it.
All right, let me stop you right there, Mel. Is your association one of the ones that is predominantly part-timers or what's known as snowbirds, people who only go down for a few months in the winter? Is that, because one of the problems they have is that there are not enough residents in residence to...
That was exactly the problem there.
So they went ahead without... They went ahead without getting the information or putting it to a vote of the membership when the membership might have been there in the winter, right?
Well, they could have done it quite easily at an annual general meeting. I mean, and it doesn't require very much intelligence to produce a tick box sheet. So when they send out notice of the annual general meeting, are you going to attend? People tick a box saying yes or no, and if you are, or if you're not, can you tick, or if you are, tick the box and send it back to us. Why on earth they didn't just do a tick sheet saying, we want to change the central vacuum cleaner system, do you approve, do you disapprove? I mean, it's so simple. But, of course, they were running this as though it was their own little fiefdom, and nobody could say anything about it. In fact, I was told by the general manager there, you know, the president's got awesome power. And I said, what are you talking about, awesome power? I said, what are you talking about, the president of the United States of America? Oh, no, I'm talking about Mr. Weinkopf. I mean, Susie and I just couldn't believe all this.
Yeah.
I mean, you've heard all this a million times.
Oh, I have. And anyway, you know what, Mel? I just came back from Tucson, where I attended the CAI Law Seminar, and one of the presenters over there is a young woman. Said she's a doc. I mean, she's one of the attorneys, and she said, "I tend to think of the boards as the parents and the homeowners as the children."
Yeah.
You know, wait a minute. You're a child now, Mel. You're a child. You're not the board member. The board knows what's good for you.
Yeah, right. We've seen some of that, haven't we?
That's how they let
somebody get nearly $1 million in arrears plus the interest, you know, on their assessment fees. The rest of us are picking up the running costs.
Yeah. That's a big problem right now. It always has been. Now they're beginning to acknowledge it. They kind of swept that under the rug before too. But anyway, I'm sorry. You've still got a few counts to go.
Well, yeah, we got the next one was failure to properly amend the bylaws. That was another little sweetheart job they had going where, you get over there and you find they've produced some Mickey Mouse bylaw that didn't make any sense and that nobody agreed with, but they hadn't gone to the membership. I mean, so many of these things, they could have used I suppose they didn't have enough intelligence, but they could have gone to the membership and said, look, this is what we want to do, and this is the way we want to do it. But they didn't, and of course, things got out of hand. Then the next one was when they ejected us from a board of directors meeting. Now, I don't know about the rest of the USA, but in this particular setup there where we were, there was a law, a state law, I think, a statute that says homeowners can attend the board of directors meetings unless the board of directors meetings are for the purpose of taking advice from the association's attorney on either current, present, or future legal situations. We followed the rules absolutely to the book. We went along and we said, we can't stay now because the attorney's turned up and we've got to go. And this went on for a number of years. Then we got to a situation where we went to a board meeting And we sat there, and there was nothing on the agenda that there was going to be an attorney present, and in fact, the attorney wasn't present at all. And the then president, this man Wyckoff, said, "Well, Mr. and Mrs. Hobbs, you're going to have to leave." And we said, "Well, why?" And he said, "Well, we're going to discuss the lawsuit, and it's your lawsuit we're going to discuss." And we said, quite naturally enough, "Well, where's the association's attorney? I mean, you know, we've a right to stay here unless the attorney's here." "Oh, well, no, you don't. I'm the president, and I'm saying you've got to leave." And my wife said, "Well, okay." She said, "Well, just write it down and a note telling us we've got to leave and sign it, and we'll go." "No, I don't have to do that." And Suzanne said, "Why not?" He said, "Well, I'm the president." So we looked at each other and grinned and said, "Yes, right." We looked at each other and grinned and said, "Oh, that's nice.
The Supreme Leader."
So we're not going to go. So thereupon they summoned in two very large security men in uniform who escorted us from the meeting.
Oh, they did?
Of course that made us. Yeah, that made us rather cross. We said, no, you mustn't do this. That's quite illegal. So we put that down on this lawsuit. And then we asked for an appointment of a receiver because of all the Mickey Mouse accounting. Well, of course, the first judge, this man McDonald, said, "Well, I'll throw that out because, you can't have a receiver until such time as you've proven that the accounting is incorrect." And, of course, he was right because that was a mistake made by our then attorney. He shouldn't have asked for an appointment of a receiver until such time as we'd proven that the accounting was wrong. But by then, everything was getting very much out of hand, and they were putting every effort into, if you like, blackening us and making life difficult and piling up our legal fees for us. And, you know, and the judges were all sort of hand in glove, if you like, supporting each other. You know, "Get rid of these people from England, they'll go away, and then we'll go back to living in peace and quiet." I think that must have been their attitude.
Well, yeah, at least in your case, but you know, you're not the only one, and there are so many homeowners out there who are really, really upset with the situation. So, that was the last of the counts, is that?
That was it. That was eight counts, yeah.
That was eight
counts. That was eight counts.
And did you win any of them?
Yes, we did. We won two.
Okay.
Because another thing, you see how badly they try to get rid of us? Another little thing they tried was they went to the court and said, "Well, the Hobbs have got no standing here at all." And we said, "Well, why is that?" They said, "Well, you're not the real parties in interest."
Huh?
And we said, "Well, how do you mean we're not the real parties in interest?" And they said, "Well, because this property you've got is in the name of a family trust." And we said, "Yeah, but hold on a minute. You know, we're the trustees, the settlers, and the beneficiaries. And we have an absolute right to work within the trusts, for the trust." So then, of course, that took another year or 18 months to get some judge to finally realize he wasn't going to get anywhere with that. So he gave us that one. When we went to the trial, you know, before we had to go to the appeal court, this man, McCarthy, he dismissed one of the counts without even hearing it. And that's one that we went to the appeal court with. We said, "Look, this man has dismissed this count, and he won't even hear it." And on top of that, they're saying we're not the true, you know, the real parties in interest. We have no standing. Well, the first appeal court, again, you see, it's quite strange. The second district court of appeal, three judges, they looked at it and they said, no, you should have heard it, and it's got to go back. And yes, you are the real parties in interest. And then, of all things, they published a mandate saying to the circuit court, you know, a failure to follow the statutes constitutes an irreparable harm and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So we thought, oh, good, somebody's woken up at last and seen what's going on. So they gave judgment in our favour. Then when we went back the second time on the question of the costs, which McCarthy, the trial judge, gave costs to the other side.
Although you were the prevailing party.
Yeah. And he gave the cost to the other side, prevailing party costs, before the appeal court had even given their decision. And we queried it. We said, how can this man give them the cost of this matter when the appeal court are still looking at the finality of it all. But he did. So then, of course, we got into a scratching match about, well, you know, the appeal court have now found in our favour, and we think that we should be, we're entitled to our costs. And in fact, our lawyers said, yeah, you're entitled to your costs. So they applied to Judge Yancey in the circuit court, first of all for an injunction to make the association behave itself and to keep the records properly and, you know, follow the statutes and all the rest of it. So Judge Yancey said yes, of course, and he gave us an injunction, which was served on the association's board. Then our attorney went back again and said, well, no, you know, we're entitled to our cost as prevailing party because. And we went back in front of Yancey, and Yancey said, well, no, because Judge McCarthy's already given them all the cost. And our lawyer stood up at the hearing and said, well, yes, but that was then, and this is now, and since then the appeal court have done this, that, and the other, and therefore the whole picture's changed. Yancey said, well, I'm not really interested, too bad, go away. So then we went back to the appeal court again, and the appeal court came back and said, no, 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 you're not entitled to your costs. Or they didn't actually say that. They said, no, we support Judge Yancey's decision.
So you didn't get your costs?
No, 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 no. We're not looking for our costs now. We know we've lost $500,000. We're not looking for that. So, you know, that's not what we're complaining about so much as the fact that we don't feel we've had a square deal with the way the courts have dealt with the case. We think that it's terrible. And really, and I really shouldn't be saying this, but it isn't any wonder that if this is the way things are done on an international basis, it isn't any wonder that people are now beginning to say over this side of the water, no, don't think we're going to invest any money in buying property in places like Florida, because like we know we're not the only people that have suffered. And that cannot be good for the good people of Florida, because there are hundreds of thousands of ordinary, innocent people trying to earn a living in the state of Florida who are now unemployed because there's no tourist money going in there. And the way these judges have behaved, it's quite unlikely there will be a lot of tourist money going there for a number of years. And unless something's done about the judicial system, and I don't know whether it can be done at federal level, I don't know. I don't know how the system works. But unless something can be done at federal level, I can't see it's ever going to change.
Well, you know, a lot of these laws are state laws, and the federal government, unless it deals with the federal issues, then, you know, they tend to stay out of it. And
but
as I said earlier, I don't think that the answer is either in the legislature or the judicial system. I think the answer has got to be grassroots, and people have got to wake up and say, wait a minute, you know, this is really not what I signed on for. This is not what I want, and I'm not going to take it. I mean, that's what I think it's going to take to reverse some of this nonsense.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, but the big difficulty, of course, is getting people to do this.
There's so much fear because they can't, not everybody can do what you did. There is so much fear. If I raise my hand or if I say anything, then they're going to come after me, and I don't want that to happen.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, we've seen this where we were at Greenleaf, where people that have, if you like, for want of a better expression, that have bitched to us about what's going on and all the rest of it. And when you say to them, well, look, you know, all you really have to do is, why don't you go and talk to your representative or your local senator or whatever you call them over there? Why don't you go and get hold of somebody and complain about it?
They're afraid to.
And then maybe you'll get something done. But, of course, they're all frightened because the lawyers write them threatening letters, and people are frightened they're going to lose their livelihood or they're going to lose their home. It's terrible.
Yeah.
It's terrible. But, you see, the point is, my point in all this, of course, is if the judiciary were acting properly and sticking to the oath they took to uphold the laws and in fact, administer justice fairly and properly, then the people wouldn't be frightened of the lawyers.
What's happening now?
No, but the problem seems to be from our side of the pond that the lawyers and the judges are all hand in glove on all this. And, you know, oh, well, you know, they all belong to the same golf club. They all belong to this, that, and the other. You know, and they spend a lot of time socializing. I mean, that seems to me to be the main problem. that there's no real independence of the judiciary, you know, and how do you get the people to react against these boards of directors? How can you do that when they know jolly well that they're going to have the association's attorney writing them threatening letters and lying, let me tell you. Two of the lawyers we've dealt with did nothing but lie through their teeth all the way through, and we've got absolute proof of that. But none of these judges are interested in that.
Well,
when you say to the judge, well, you know, this, we had this attorney here, this man, Clifford B. Shepherd III from Orlando. Lie? God, if my children had lied like that when they were small, I'd have spanked them till they were raw. I mean, the man's terrible, but he's a practicing lawyer in the state of Florida, in Orlando, and he gets away with it time after time. What do the judges do? Nothing.
Nothing, because, yeah, no, I know. What's happening now, Mel, is that a lot of the cases are not actually making it to court. They're being kicked over to mediation and arbitration. And
sure.
The sad part is that when they come to an agreement, I mean, the homeowners think that's it, you know, I know I couldn't win. Maybe if I don't get a bad judge, maybe I can actually win this case, but it's a toss up. So they're willing to take a sure bet and they're willing to settle. But the problem is that when they settle, they're signing a confidentiality clause, which means they will not, they can say that they have settled, but they will not disclose any of the
sure.
terms of the settlement, which means, you know what this means, Mel?
I do know exactly what it means.
It
you lay yourself wide open for future problems if you sign a thing like that.
No, they, you know, you, if you sign it, you go away, you take what you can get out of it, and you actually have that monkey off your back. But what this means is if your neighbor settles with the association and the association gives them a chunk of money, it's your money, and you don't
yeah.
know what your board is doing with your money.
To buy them off.
Absolutely. Absolutely, because
yeah.
they know if it goes to court, the records are going to be open. Everybody will be able to go in and look at what had happened, and they will get all that information. But the minute it goes to arbitration, the minute it goes to mediation, all of that is sealed. So they
yeah.
live to do this another day. And
yeah.
it goes on
and, they do.
And on and on. How? What do you suppose happened with those 51,000 complaints that you
well,
talk about?
Well, I guess you... I guess not very much. I should think we probably... You know, one of the things I would like to say, I'm probably saying the wrong thing here, but, you know, in most fully democratic countries in this world, you have a situation where the people elect the legislator. The legislator make the laws. The police uphold the laws, and the judges administer them. And what I was, or what we were told by a Judge Stokes there when we were there one day was, you don't want to take any notice of that. The judges make the laws in this country.
That's sort of an activist judge right there. No, the judges don't make the laws. The legislature
well,
makes the
man,
laws.
Well, this man, well, they seem to have made them in our case because, you know, we've shown them the statutes. Our lawyers have shown them the statutes, read them to them in black and white, and they said, this says this, this says this, this says this, and the judge says, well, it don't matter. I mean, what is the point in people having a legislator? You might just as well hand the whole kit and caboodle over to a dozen of these so-called judges and let them do things the way they want to, because they're a disgrace. They're an absolute disgrace to the people of the state. And I'm sure you're right when you say, well, people will want the quiet life. They'd rather do a deal behind closed doors, take $5,000 and walk away, and the neighbours don't realise that they're actually paying the $5,000 out of their assessment fees.
Well, if your case had been going in your favour, the association would have said, look, why don't we come together and why don't we come to an agreement? And once that happens, it happens behind closed doors. I have had a real problem with a lot of that stuff because you get these settlements, because all the law that's being made is bad for the homeowners. There's nothing good there. A lot of the cases that might have gone, you know, might have gone to the homeowner,
sure,
would have been good law for the homeowner, would have made a good precedent, but that's not happening. And there, but beyond that, Mel, is the fact that it's your money that's being used to cover up the stupidity of the board.
Yes.
And by the time the attorneys finish churning the files and generating more fees, yeah, there's a lot of money involved, and you're paying for it, and you don't know it. You don't know it. And your property values go down, your association's bankrupt, you know, and it goes on and on and on, and you don't know why.
Well, things are certainly, from what I understand from good old Joan Bergamon, who must be a hero among the people in the state of Florida.
He is.
With this Cyber Citizens for Justice he runs. I mean, if it was just a cranky Englishman like me making a heck of a fuss because he spent $500,000 and got nowhere with it, oh, well, so what, he's just one in a million, that was a different thing. But when you've got these problems where you have select committees set up and they get 51,000, 57,000 complaints within the first 12 months, and when you get Joan Bergamon running this Cyber Citizens for Justice, and people are constantly contributing to it with the problems they're having, there's got to be something really, really wrong and smelly right at the very beginning of all this. I mean, a thing like this doesn't last unless there are some real, real problems there.
Where does one go
to get the problems looked at?
I don't know if it's any consolation to you. You are not the only one I know. In fact, I just spent time with a friend of mine who has spent almost $1 million in litigation and for similar things, wanting to look at the books and records. These are definitely things that you and I and she as homeowners are totally entitled to. Another lady in Arizona who spent in excess of $500,000 trying to defend her rights as well. Where does one go? Again, it has to be grassroots. People have got to find a backbone someplace and stop being afraid. I mean, they're being bullied and they're being scared and they're crawling into a hole and they can't do that because every time they do that, they lose big. We've got a couple more minutes. I want to know what's next. So you're done with litigation now, right?
Well, we think so. As far as we're concerned, you probably gathered by now, I'm not the sort of person that just lets things lie, and I'm certainly not frightened of Florida judges or Florida lawyers. I just have absolute contempt for them, all of them, the ones we've met. I'm absolutely contemptuous of the way they behave and the way they treat their people and the way they've taken an oath to uphold the law and all the rest of it and totally ignored it. Just, let's go down the golf club. Oh, Harry said that. We'll go along with it. So we don't stop here. Our next step is we're preparing bundles of documents and I'm proposing to send them off with proper covering letters to your president and your Secretary for State of State for Foreign Affairs, Senator Hillary Clinton, and my own Prime Minister and my own Foreign Minister and the Foreign Ministers of a lot of the British Commonwealth countries, because I think we should all be aware of what's going on there in Florida. Unless people are aware, they're going to do what we did. They're going to go there, they're going to say lovely blue sky sunshine, they're going to find themselves in homeowner or condo associations where there's no doubt about it, they are going to find themselves in trouble because they don't realize just how these people behave because they're allowed to behave like it by the judiciary. That's the problem. Now, I just feel that from now on in, I've got all the time in the world and I should put the effort in to try to bring it to the attention of as many people as I can. And I know I'm not the only one because there's a lady, Valerie Austin, who I believe you know of, I don't know whether you've interviewed her, she actually went down to the south of France to a film festival and distributed 10,000 leaflets printed leaflets about the problems with the condo associations in the state of Florida. So
the word is getting out.
Maybe something. I'm sorry?
The word is getting out across the pond, is what you're saying.
Well, we're going to do our best for it. Yeah, sure. Yes, we are.
You still own your house? You still own your condo?
No, we're finished. Before Christmas, we said, that's it, goodbye. And now I feel quite free that I can say what the heck I like to anybody about what the devil goes on over there and the way these people behave.
So you sold the condo?
No, we just walked away from it. We said, well, we're just not going to spend any more money in the state of Florida.
You walked away from it?
Yeah, we just walked away. We said, we fought and fought and fought for 10 years, and it doesn't matter what you do, you're just never going to get any satisfaction properly.
What's the condo worth? I mean, you must have lost a ton of money. In addition to the $500,000 that you spent in litigation, walking away, you lost an asset.
We've owned the place for 16 years and we've had our money out of it, and we think, well, it doesn't owe us anything. We've had 16 years there, the last 10 of which haven't been worth anything. And in fact, if we'd known 10 years ago what we know now, Shu, there's no way in the world would we be talking to you today. We'd have walked away from it 10 years ago. But we, unfortunately, stupidly believed the rule of law applied in the state of Florida the way it does in England and in other European countries, but it doesn't. It doesn't. The rule of law doesn't seem to apply.
So you walked
away. We've got bundles and bundles of paper here for anybody to look at to prove the point, to prove what I'm saying to you. You know, we've just said, oh, hell, let them get on with it. And I believe from Jan Bergerman, that is exactly the sort of situation they're finding in many condominium associations throughout that state. That there are many people just saying, I don't need this anymore. I'm not going to put up with it. I'm going. And, of course, that is not good for the state of Florida.
No, it's not good for the state of Florida, but what does it say about housing in America? And, you know, you've put money into that place and you owned it and it was your dream and it was a piece of your retirement paradise.
Yeah.
And you had to give, wow, I'm really sorry. On behalf of America, I apologize for that.
Well, I appreciate that, Shu, and relieve you me, we do not believe for one moment that the whole of America is like it.
But a big part of it is, Mel. The big part of it is, and that's a big problem.
Well, I don't know. We made a lot of very good American friends that we speak to once a week or once a fortnight. We catch up on the internet and we speak to each other with this Skype situation that we've got. And American friends have been over here and stayed with us in our home, and we've taken them to France. And we're looking forward to some other American friends coming to see us this coming summer. And, there's no hard feelings there at all. We just think, well, you know, and again, I'm going to be quite blunt about it. Why the devil are we going to sit about and get screwed time after time by these sort of people? It's their state. Let them have it. Get on with it, you know?
And with that, thank you very much, Mel.
Yeah, I appreciate your time. And at any time at all, I'm more than willing to speak to anybody who wants to speak to me about this.
Thank you for joining us today. Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. now there's lots of open meetings close to Justice 4HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.